Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 76. I'm here with the one and only sign guy who's so fly is going to take you to the sky. How you doing, sign guy?
Doing all right today, Coach.
It looks like we might have our guest on. Can you introduce him to the fans and ask him the first-timer question, please?
Well, I believe we have with us the commissioner of Emerge. Do we have Chris Lowe?
Hey, sign guy. Hey, coach.
Hey, thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, Chris Lowe, our first-timer question, how did you get into this crazy business of professional wrestling?
Well, sign guy, like most people in this business, I was a fan first. Started out, I lived in southern Indiana, and I would get Memphis wrestling a lot, and started watching The King and Bill Dundee, and then migrated more toward Jim Crockett Promotions, and of course the WWF was always on, but it was never really appealing to me until I really got into it. But yeah, just being a fan and sending an email to one Jerry Wilson at Hoosier Pro Wrestling, and I'm in the business. Here we are.
Right on. And, man, I'm really impressed with Emerge. What do you guys got coming up?
Coming up, we've got Emerge 76, In Like a Lion. That takes place March 9th at the Bartholomew County Fairgrounds in Columbus, Indiana. We've had two shows so far in 2024. Both have been sellouts. And I got to tell you, it is really, it's really fulfilling to go outside the doors of your building an hour before showtime and to see, you know, 150 people lined up just waiting to get in. It's quite the feeling, and it's I'm really proud to be part of Emerge.
Nice. Okay. Hey, and did you play sports in high school or growing up?
Yeah, started out with basketball, then into cross country and golf. I was never a big guy. We didn't have a wrestling team when I was in high school in rural southern Indiana, it was a good time. I mean, not a lot of whole contact sports, but golf, basketball, cross country, stuff like that.
Okay. And then when you were growing up, who were your heroes? That includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
Well, growing up, we'll start with wrestling. I don't know if I would call him a hero, but the guy that really got me hooked in the whole performance aspect and presentation of wrestling was Howard Finkel. Looking at the guy, you wouldn't expect that booming voice to come out of a small frame. And through Finkel, Finkel's what made me, is who made me want to become a ring announcer. You want to be that guy that says, "And new!" It's a way to bring attention to what's going on in the ring, accentuate the product without, you know, becoming the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then what about in sports and music?
I loved Larry Bird growing up. He's the guy that got me into basketball. I was convinced I would grow up to be 6'9" and be the second coming. That never happened. But I enjoyed Larry. Of course, when I was growing up, we didn't have cable. We had the NBA on CBS every weekend. And every weekend seemed to be either a Celtics game or a Lakers game, or if it was a doubleheader, you'd have Celtics at noon and then the Lakers at 4. So, and then whenever Magic and the Lakers would show up against the Celtics, that was always must-see TV. As far as music, I wasn't really much into music growing up until I was probably my late teens, and then it was probably just John Mellencamp. Growing up, Mellencamp grew up not too far from where I am, a local guy, made it big, but he never really seemed to lose who he was as a very successful artist. And he, like I said, he still lives fairly close.
Cool. Okay. Yes, and I'll never forget back in the day when Magic and Bird started squaring off in college. My buddy was like, "Hey, man, you got to watch this." We watched it, and it was amazing. And then from that point on, that rivalry was just off the hook. My goodness.
Yeah, that was 79, I believe, in the NCAA championship game. I was 4 years old, so I do not remember it. I wish I did. I have an Indiana State jersey with Bird's number and name on it. And, you know, of course, you can go online and see highlights of the game and but it's not the same as being, you know, there live or watching it live. But, yeah, I would have really enjoyed to see it. And from what I've seen, the rivalry only intensified once they both became professionals.
Definitely. Yes, and I just got a message here saying that John Mellencamp is only the second most famous person in Seymour, Indiana, to Rip Rogers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Can't forget about Rip.
Okay.
Cannot forget about Mr. Rogers.
Okay. Now, in your lifetime, what have been some of the most memorable matches that you've seen? That includes VHS tape, internet, or live.
Wow. Live, my first event was WrestleMania 8 in Indy. I went with a fellow by the name of Rob Raymer, who is also a professional wrestler. He retired just a few years back. Rob and I grew up and worked at the same pizza place together, and it was just a real great time. But going to that first event, I will never, ever forget Piper versus Hart for the IC title, mainly because I was one of those guys in the cheap seats yelling for Roddy to clock Brett with the ring bell. Of course, he didn't, and he lost. So, but yeah, that was just even from the cheap seats. I mean, it was the Hoosier Dome back in the day. There weren't great seats up in the bleachers, but gosh, you could really take in the pageantry of the entire event. And I went mainly to see Flair. I love Flair. I wanted to see Flair, and I wanted to see Flair and Hogan, but that didn't happen. So I was looking forward to Flair and Savage, but. Yeah, it was Roddy and Brett that really stole that show. As far as some older matches I've seen on tape, again, going with a Roddy match, Roddy and Hammer Valentine in the dog collar match. I think it was in 87, maybe 86. And more recently, gosh, again, I'm going with a live event I went to as far as the major leagues versus John Morrison for the ECW title. Gosh, how long ago was that? I don't know how many years ago, but it was a long time. That was a great bout. And as far as independent matches, for years, I would tell anybody who would listen, the greatest independent match I ever saw was Rob Raymer versus Ricky Ruckus in Hoosier Pro Wrestling. It was an I Quit match, and that was the first time I really had to get involved in a match because I, as ring announcer, I had the only mic, so I had to run around the ring and hand the mic to the guy when they wanted their opponent to say I quit. So I was up real close, but even if I wasn't, it was a brutal match. It was storytelling to the extreme. Raymer was excellent in his role as a heel. Ruckus was excellent in his role as an unexpected babyface, I guess you would call it. But that's one of my big ones. And as far as a merge, we had a ladder match. It was a six-man ladder match for the Emerge Outbreak Championship that was just car crash TV, but just a great, great event. And to this day, I think that event is what put Emerge on the map and really cemented us as a place where you could see some quality professional wrestling with great presentation, a great stage presence, and just a quality, affordable evening for the family.
Awesome. Yeah, that was the second part of my question, matches that you've been involved with. Any others that you've been involved with that are more memorable?
No, I've pretty much stayed out of the ring. I've got a bad neck and a bad back. But, again, in Emerge, I really thought I was going to get – oh, no, I'll go back one further. Back in Hoosier Pro Wrestling, it was a Halloween-themed show. And I'm in the ring announcing, and they kill the lights. I don't know what's going on. The lights turn on, and I turn around, and there's – Leatherface there with a chainsaw, and I didn't know he was going to be there. So I hightail it out the ring, and his chainsaw caught the edge of my jacket as I was, heading out between Brett's rope and the third rope. It was a fun time.
Nice. And then, yes, speaking of Ricky Ruckus, I'm a huge fan of his. We want to give shout out to him and thanks for him for helping. He referred us to you today for the interview. We thank him and Sign Guy for that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Ricky Ruckus. Thank you, Sign Guy. And thank you to everyone at Emerge for allowing this to happen.
Right on. Okay. And then who've been your favorite people to work with in Emerge?
Just talking, let's see. I'm going to have to go with Jeremy Hadley. Jeremy is one of those guys. He's been with us from day one. He is so versatile as a performer, as an athlete, as a wrestler. Dude is, I believe he's 38. He's been doing this for a while, and he's found a way to keep himself healthy, on top of the game mentally. Right now, he's serving as my assistant in Emerge Wrestling. He lost a match, and as part of the stipulation, he has to serve as my assistant in the Emerge offices. We've filmed plenty of vignettes and things that's taken place at the office. I would encourage your fans to look it up and go to YouTube and just look up Emerge Pro Wrestling, Jeremy Hadley. You'll see it. They're great. He's not happy about it, but we're currently in a storyline where Hadley can't come back until his assistant, who I've put in the ring, wins a match on his behalf. So we're into the second month of that.
Very cool. Okay, at this time I want to give you over to Sign Guy. He's got some questions for you, and then I'll come back after that.
Cool. Thanks, Coach.
Well, Chris, you come from a background in radio, and I'm sure getting into professional wrestling that gave a great background for you. What have you learned working in radio that has translated to what you do in pro wrestling?
Communication, mainly. As with anything, when you first get into it, there is some trepidation. You may be intimidated. With radio, when you go in that first time, it's just you in a room with glass on every side. People can see you, and you've got a microphone. And there may not be anybody around, but you know you've got thousands upon thousands of people listening to you. And to me, personally, it was being in radio has actually made it a calming effect as far as me going into professional wrestling, because while you see the faces of your listeners, generally you're not when I was in radio, I was broadcasting anywhere to 20 to 60,000 people. You're not going to get 60,000 people in a building in Columbus, Indiana. So, but still walking into a professional wrestling event and addressing these fans can be intimidating. But again, being in radio and being able to talk to so many thousands of people, it made it a very smooth transition to me, for me. Not saying there weren't hiccups along the way and then I wasn't nervous, absolutely was. But Jerry and Terry, both at HPW, were great in helping me acclimate myself to the business.
Now, being in radio, I'm sure you had sort of a built-in base of people that you were in contact with around town and mm-hmm. new local businesses and new some of the more important people in town. Did you find that having those connections helped you help the wrestling companies? Did you know people for the promoters to contact sponsorships and so forth?
Yeah, absolutely. The one I'm most proud of, and I think was a huge shot in the arm for Emerge Wrestling, was our first downtown throwdown show held outside on 4th Street in Columbus. If you've never been to Columbus, Indiana, 4th Street is chock full of bars and eateries, and it's in the middle of an architectural, well, they call Columbus an architectural gem of the Midwest, and it really is. And we were right in the middle of it, and we got a lot of walk-ups that day. It was a free event, but we had a lot of people who either never been put to professional, never seen professional wrestling, or it's been years or decades since they last watched it. And I heard from a lot of people, wow, this isn't what I remember. Wow, this isn't what I expected. This is a real showcase, a real event you can bring your family to and, you know, spend a few hours, not break the bank, and enjoy some guys and gals who are honing their craft and are very, very good at it.
You, as both the ring announcer and the commissioner, are not necessarily going to be physically involved in the show, but we all know that things happen and injuries do occur. People do get hurt mm-hmm. from time to time. Do you ever have to improvise things and be able to think on the fly to cover for when injuries do happen?
Before I became commissioner and was serving as a ring announcer, I believe this was our second downtown throwdown show. What were we doing? We had a battle royal. Let me see what happened. No, it was not a battle royal. I take that back. It was a multi-man match, and the lost cause, Anthony Lee, dove over the top rope to take out a competitor, landing on the brick walkway. Aside from a bigger injury that we'll get to, that was the first time that I was the first guy there and the first guy to really know, okay, something's up, something's not right. I say luckily, but not to be disrespectful toward Anthony Lee, but luckily it was a multi-man match, and the match continued. Anthony made it to the back. He was shook up, but you know, no lasting damage. The first injury and the worst injury I remember, Sign Guy, was at Hoosier Pro Wrestling, and you decided to go at it with a bunch of firefighters, and you dented the concrete floor of the Family and Arts building.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yes, that I did, and I know you hate it, but to this day, the most accurate words ever spoken at a wrestling show came out of your mouth, and they were, Sign Guy's been eliminated.
Dude, and I was on the other side of the ring when you got dumped. And so I made the announcement. I walk over because you hear a bunch of oohs and ahs, and the thud I heard has never been duplicated and is still to this day the most sickening sound I ever heard. When I make my way over to the ring and I saw the state of you, I felt horrible. And, of course, the match stopped. The event stopped for about 5 to 10 minutes. We got you to the back. I'm not going to lie. I thought you were dead or severely, severely brain damaged. First time I cried at a wrestling event. I really thought I was seeing a brother, you know, about to go. But that was that. I don't care what happens. That will be that moment will stick with me till the day I die. And I'm just glad you're among us and have got all your faculties.
It was much worse looking than it really was. I was relatively fine pretty quick, but Tracy Smothers was scared for the rest of his life, unfortunately.
I remember
there was nothing else you could have done.
Right. But I remember Dice, man, Ronnie Vegas. He was kind of just standing over you, talking to you. Sign Guy, talk to me. And he was business. Jerry was a little panicky. Dice was all business. Everybody around. I stood next to Tracy Smothers. He was there that night, right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Because when I first came around and saw you, I looked over to Tracy and I say, "Is he working?" "No, brother, he's hurt." Like, oh, no.
On a lighter note.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, on a lighter note, what's been one of the segments that you have done that unintentionally got the people and yourself laughing?
Okay, this is a recent one. This happened last year. We had, at Emerge, we had Hollywood House and the set made their arrival to Emerge Wrestling. And if you don't know Hollywood House, very talented dude, very talented, but he's got a mouth on him. And he was leading his charges to the ring, and I don't remember the exact match or what it was, but his guys came out on top, and the dude just stood there and danced in front of me. Hollywood just—it was even made into a GIF here, but I just Hollywood House. When you've got a guy that is that talented and that quick, they can make you break at any time. Of course, back in the old days, HPW, Damian Cole would make us laugh quite a few times, especially in his bouts with Stompin' Steve. But yeah, other than that, you know, not a whole lot. It's been pretty smooth sailing.
Now, Emerge has been around for, I believe it's 9 years this year. And
yeah, we just celebrated our 9th anniversary.
When you look back and you take a look at where Emerge started, and it was Ricky and Donnie wanting to promote their vision of pro wrestling in their hometown to where it is now, and it's still basically that, but it has grown. What do you think of the way Emerge has really captured the imagination of the people in and around Columbus, Indiana?
Well, first off, Emerge would not be successful without of the fans. We started out at Merge One in Seymour, Indiana, at the Celebration Event Center. And it was that initial show where, you know, the tone was set. We put on I think for Emerge, when we started out, what was great was the presentation, the lighting, the stage setting, the way the building was staged for the event. You know, because you get crowds that come in and see that and see that, wow, these guys are willing to put in this effort to, you know, make it maybe bigger than life. And you pull your fans in that way, and they grow with you as a company. What makes me proud is there was a time in our early years when Emerge was on pause for about 6 months due to some internal issues. And we were really worried that when we came back, the fans wouldn't be there. We came back 5 or 6 months later back to the Celebrations Event Center in Seymour, and we sold the building out. So it's pleasing to know that we can reach our fans and make a connection with them to where, hey, if we've got to wait to see Emerge, to see our guys, you know, we don't like it, but we'll do it. And they've shown back up, and they've never stopped coming to every event. So it's a good problem to have when we're selling out every month almost.
Now, as the commissioner at Emerge, you have sort of a different role than you did when you were ring announcing. And as the commissioner, I'm sure fans do not like every single decision that you make or every announcement that you make. Have you ever had difficulty with irate fans?
Yes. In fact, this was the last quarter of 2023. We had two matches that had to get changed. One included Deontay Davis, who got sick, and we had to make a replacement there. The one I got booze on that very same night, I had to announce that Cole Radrick wasn't there. And of course, you know, Cole, world renowned, he's been all over. A young guy, hot talent. He's got his whole future ahead of him. And people, love him or hate him, they love to see Cole Radrick perform. So I get the boost, which I expect. Then I drop the reason why Cole wasn't there. He was in Cleveland that night, and I got to announce that he was getting a tryout match for AEW. And, of course, our Emerge fans immediately pop, and they understand why. You know, the card is subject to change. They're happy for Cole and what he's doing. And when you're honest with your fans, it creates a bond and makes them more comfortable and more apt to trust you when you present them with the matches or scenarios they may not understand or particularly like. But I've found it's the best way to do business.
On the opposite end of the spectrum from that, do you ever have fans that are overly happy with you that maybe go to extremes to show their appreciation of what you've just announced?
I don't know if I would call it over the top, but without fail, and I'm being as honest as I can, I'm thinking back. The last 6 or 7 events, near the end of the evening, I will have somebody I've never seen before come up to me, shake my hand, and said, this is the best wrestling event they've ever been to, or something similar. Now, specific instances was me probably not allowing Jeremy Hadley back in the ring and forcing him to continue to serve as my assistant. I got a lot of handshakes that night. And pass on the back and attaboy, and because they enjoy seeing the videos of Hadley in the office not having the best time. So,
now, Adam Merge, you mentioned Cole Roderick, but you get a lot of the bigger names in the independent scene pass through Emerge. Freya the Slayer was just in. You had people like Cole Roderick stop by. You've had Apollo Star there. You've had a lot of bigger name independent people pass through. What do you think it is that attracts that tier of independent talent to Emerge, and usually on a recurring basis?
I'd have to say reputation. The reputation of the company, the fact that we try to go out of our way to find, you know, great independent, top-tier independent talent to come in to face, guys that are really great locally. It's the fact that we seek these guys. It's the quality of our matches. The fact like that we can get Dylan, the fact that we can get Cole Roderick in on the ground floor level, and he grows as a performer, as we grow as a company. Cole Roderick has been invaluable in bringing talent to Emerge, as is Chris Caliber. Caliber was absolutely instrumental. I don't know if it would have happened. We got Raven in for a downtown throwdown. That wouldn't have happened without Hadley. It's the guys that you bring in. You got to bring in good guys that understand the business, that understand, hey, we want to grow this company. We're starting out small. We want to grow. We want to get better. We want to draw fans. And it's these guys that have, and gals that have a zest for what they do. It's infectious. And that brings in the fans, which when we post on social media showing a full house, that makes it that much easier to bring in, you know, top-tier talent. We can bring in Freya the Slayer. We'll bring in Marty Bell, who's now our Emerge Women's Champion. We've brought in Rhino and other Elijah Burke. We brought Elijah Burke in, again, based on our reputation and what we try to do as a company.
I'd be remiss if I didn't also put in that class former Emerge champion Gregory Iron.
Absolutely. Oh, wow. That was, Greg was a big part in bringing fans in the, I said, near the middle of Emerge's run. Just an amazing talent. His story is inspiring, and he was a great champ for Emerge. People definitely came to see him, and he deserves to be booked wherever he can get. The guy will bring a professionalism to your locker room. He's not afraid to talk to people, give them tips. He's very knowledgeable. I'm big on the Jeremy Irons. Go Gregory Irons. I'm sorry.
And you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but Emerge has done several outdoor shows, and outdoor shows pose many challenges that an indoor show does not. There's usually concerns on weather and how you could protect not only the ring but also the fans from the weather. You have challenges usually with the sound system being able to be heard and to be clear. Usually there are issues if it's a ticketed show on making sure people can't just walk up and watch for free. There's a lot of things that go into that if you have a traditional indoor venue, you don't have. What do you think of having outdoor shows as opposed to wrestling indoors?
It's a dicey proposition. At Emerge, we've been very, very lucky. Our downtown throwdown events, which were held in the heart of Columbus, we were blessed with great weather. We held another outdoor event near in the parking lot of the college campus in Columbus. We had the ring set up. sound system set up. Everything was set up, and then about 2 hours before bell time, it just monsooned, just a poured, and we got all the equipment inside, and I, to this day, our ring crew, I will put them over any other ring crew in the business. I saw four guys out covering the entire ring with a tarp under monsoon conditions, wind blowing, howling like crazy. And these guys were under the tarp in the ring just trying to keep the canvas dry to keep the performers safe. And they got beat around quite a bit by the weather. The ring looked great. They were a little worse for wear. But, yeah, with outdoor events, again, it's very tricky, especially as a smaller company. You know, you've got the mega outfits like AEW and WWE. You know, I'm sure they've got spare equipment standing by. We don't necessarily have that as a smaller independent. So, to be honest, I'm not a big fan of the outdoor events just because I don't like the chance of poor weather. But we've been blessed.
Now, of course, the last time we crossed paths in person was at an Emerge show in Hope, mm-hmm. Indiana.
An outdoor event.
Yes, at an outdoor event on the town square. We also learned that the people of Hope, Indiana do not appreciate the national anthem of Canada. But
For some reason,
I can't explain it. For the fans that are not familiar with Hope, mm-hmm. Indiana, they actually have a very storied past in professional wrestling. OVW used to run Hope, Indiana on occasion, and mm-hmm. such people as John Cena, Batista, Randy Orton, Mark Henry, and Brock Lesnar have all competed in Hope, Indiana. What's it like going to a small town like that, knowing that you were just a couple of blocks away from where some of the biggest names in the industry had competed years earlier?
And you bring up Hope, and not only with OVW at the old Hope High School, one of the first wrestling events, actually I think the first wrestling event I went to in Hope, that old gym was packed, and Big Show was there that night. I don't know if you made that event, Sign Guy, but yeah, Hope is just a lovely little, I almost call it a hamlet. It's just a nice little town, nice buildings, good people, but they love their wrestling. And it felt good to bring Emerge, to a little town with such history.
Well, at this point, I know Coach has some more questions for you, so I'm going to pass things right back over to the Coach with the Most coming at us from coast to coast.
Okay, Chris, yeah, speaking of Indiana, man, I've been blessed to be able to go there a few times. The first time I got to go there was Sign Guy, be part of Heroes and Legends more than once. Have you got to experience Heroes and Legends or work with Jason Maples yet?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay, and then let's see here. Who are some up-and-comers that the fans should keep an eye on?
Oh, wow. I'm going to say Dylan Cole. Dylan Cole is a second-generation guy. He's young. I think he's 19. He is the son of Damian Cole, one half of the 8-Bit Punks, along with Aaron Anarchy. They've torn up the Shelbyville area, Columbus area, tag team champions, wherever they go. Dylan is kind of finding himself at the moment. When we got him at Emerge, he had quite a mouth on him and thought he knew everything, didn't appreciate the way I was putting together matches. He started out as an official, eventually worked his way up to becoming a wrestler. And right now he's actually set to face Beef on March 9th in Columbus, Beef will be facing Dylan Cole and his father, Damian Cole, in a 1-on-2 handicap bout.
Cool, okay. And who are some of the, let me see, who are some of the toughest wrestlers that you've seen out there?
Gosh. Pound for pound, Daniel Eads was a mean dude. Unfortunately for Daniel, he was the Emerge champion coming into Emergence Day, which was held in January. Dude is 6'4", 6'5", built like an Adonis, mean as the day is long. They call him One Punch Dan because he's that vicious. What was the question again?
Who are some of the toughest wrestlers out there that you've seen?
Oh, tough. Yeah, Daniel Leeds, by far, one of the toughest guys I've ever met. The Mastodon, J.D. Mariani, our first Emerge champion. Huge guy, deceptively fast. I would never want to meet him in a dark alley. Apollo Starr, tough man. Jordan Cage, currently one half of our Emerge tag team champions. Tough dude, Justin Kyle, who went undefeated as Emerge champion for over a year. Just a bulldog of a man. He's just incredibly tough. If you come through Emerge, you've got to be a tough fella.
Yes, I would imagine. And then this next segment is called Favorites. I'm sure Sign Guy and the rest of the fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is if you drink coffee.
I am not much of a coffee drinker. I, however, cannot go a day without Pepsi with real sugar.
Okay. And then what
they
about
gotta have the real
your favorite? What about your favorite concerts that you've seen?
Oh, that's easy. It was Aerosmith. It was the Nine Lives tour. I got second row tickets. It was loud. That was back in the day. I think it was 94, 95, maybe 96. Back in the day, you can get second row tickets to an Aerosmith show for $125. I dread to see what they cost now. But, yeah, easily, best concert I've ever been to.
Awesome. Yes, I've seen them more than once. I've seen them when they were all hammered and couldn't hardly play. Then I've seen them when he was straight and he's out there doing cartwheels. They definitely put on a great show. Who warmed up for him that day?
Oh, you know, I was just thinking that. I honest to God don't remember. The Aerosmith show itself was so great. It came out for three encores that night. So, yeah.
Okay. And then in your lifetime, what have been your favorite sports teams?
Boston Celtics, without question. Grew up loving and watching Larry Bird. Became a Pacers fan after Chuck Person was drafted, I think, in 85. Was loving those guys. First basketball game I went to was a playoff game between the Pacers and the Atlanta Hawks back when the first round was only a five-game series. And I went to a lot of Knicks games, Pacer-Knicks games, because I hated the Knicks. Specifically, I hated John Starks, and it was fun to yell at that man.
Okay. Was you a fan of Bobby Knight?
Loved the man. He was scary, but he was effective. Obviously, his methods wouldn't fly today, but his results – You can't deny.
Definitely, yes.
I loved the fact that Bobby Knight and Gene Cady seemingly hated each other. So that was two games a year that were always much must watch, and you got to talk to your friends at school about it the day before and the day after.
Nice, okay. And what are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
Quality schooling. Without question, I can't count the number of events I would be, like during intermission, I would be out and about, and I would have someone come up to me, well, how do I get into wrestling? when someone does that, you try to point them to a good school, not somebody, or not someplace that's just going to take their money and not teach them anything. My go-to, I send them to the New Era Academy, Damian and JD and Aaron and the whole crew out there. They've really brought up some great talent. I know Damian's had a hand in bringing up Braden Lee in the business. His people are always respectful, professional. We hire DC to bring it. We hire him for his ring quite a bit, and he will bring his students with him to learn how to tear down and set up, all that good stuff. And he's got them into a well-oiled machine to where, you know, they can have that ring tore down and out the building in 30 minutes. And it's, I told him, it's fun to watch him work because so many moving parts, yet it's like a machine. It's he's really good at what he does.
Absolutely. Okay, and then how do people get a hold of you?
You can just I'm not much on social media, but you can always find Emerge Wrestling on our socials. You can find us we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Our website is emergeprowrestling.com. And again, our next event is Saturday, March 9th in Columbus, Indiana, in Like a Lion.
Nice. Okay, well, hey, man, I really appreciate your time in this interview today. I think Sun Guy might have a couple more questions before we're done, though. What about you, Sun?
Well, hey, Coach, thanks, sir. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Coach.
Well, Chris, one of my last questions for you, when you look at the landscape of independent professional wrestling today, if you could choose one person from any area in the country to come to Emerge to wrestle that has never been there, whom would you have come to Emerge?
You know what? I know he recently signed with MLW, but I got a feeling Bobby Fish and Braden Lee would be a clinic, an absolute clinic.
Nice. Okay, well, Chris, like I said, I wish you all the luck in the world, and I was wondering, is there anything else you'd like to plug or promote?
No, just like I mentioned, Emerge, we're entering our 9th year. We hit our 10-year anniversary next January. We're already planning it. It's going to be bigger and better than ever, and maybe I can come back and talk to you guys about it when we get closer.
Definitely. Thank you so much, brother.
Hey, thank you, brother.
You're welcome. Hey, Sign Guy, I know you're a busy man. You got a Northwest Pro today. I'm sure you and Chicken Bob are about ready to take off. What else you got coming up?
We are. We have Northwest Pro today, the FIP World Heavyweight Champion August Artois is coming to town to face J.D. Masson. And tomorrow on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we will be joined by Adrian Whisper out of the great state of Florida. Next Friday on the show, we continue Children of Sports Entertainment Month with the son of CPW manager John Davidson, Malachi Coventry. And then next Saturday, 1 week from today, I will be back at the aforementioned CPW in Linwood, Washington at the new home Club Hectic. And at the end of the month, on the 24th, I will be back in Ocean Shores, Washington for Harbor Havoc RWA, Rogue Wrestling Attractions.
And then they have a training school down there too, right?
Not really a training school per se, but we do run training periodically in Aberdeen, and the people that are starting out their journey in pro wrestling with RWA do come to the training, and then we have a few more people from the area that come in and do training, and we have coaches come up. I could usually go over there. Some of the Portland-based guys come over. So not necessarily a full-time school, but there is some training happening.
Okay, and then how do people contact you?
They can get a hold of me on the Book of Faces over at the X at SignGuyHBW, the YouTube's TheSignGuy77, Chicken Bob also on the social medias. You can look him up. Really easy to find him there. And you can find me tonight at the Key Peninsula Civic Center.
And then what about the infamous Sign of the Times?
We should have a new episode up tomorrow. Should be filming one later today, probably just prior to the event tonight.
Nice. And then what about, this is Super Bowl weekend, Super Bowl 58 in Vegas, San Francisco versus the Kansas City Chiefs trying to repeat. Who do you got?
Well, I've never bowled in Las Vegas, but I don't know, maybe the guy from San Francisco.
Okay. Hey, that means that's another reason you got to go to the Cauliflower Alley, because they have the midnight bowling tournament down there.
Aha, there we go. That, and I could maybe join in on the cribbage tournament. Have you ever done the cribbage tournament, Coach?
I've never played cribbage yet in my life. But, yes, the Cauliflower Alley.
How have you been in the wrestling business this long and not played cribbage once in your life?
No, not yet. But anyway, back to the Cauliflower Alley convention. This year it's August 19th through the 21st at the Plaza Hotel in Las Vegas. Hope to see you guys down there. All right, Sign, thank you so much for your time and all you do. We appreciate you so much, brother.
All right, Coach. We will talk to you tomorrow on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Do your research on Adrian Whisper. He's an interesting character.
Yes, I know. He whispers a lot, but maybe he's going to get loud on the show tomorrow. We'll see.
We'll see what we get.
All right, everyone. You guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And we're honored to have the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast Saturdays at noon Pacific. Next Saturday, we got Lance Dean. Hopefully he won't Lance Dean us like Sign Guy says all the time. I'm pretty sure he'll be there.
I did not invent the term. If he tries to bring that up again, the term was in use when I first heard it. I did not invent the term, no matter what. Old thumbs up, Lance Dean might try to pass off on you next week.
Okay, yes, all right. And then, of course, even he tried to mix up the dates and everything already, just preparing us for the Lance Dean.
And horn in on Chris Lowe's interview.
I know, it's like, man, red flags are going up already. Jeez Louise. Okay, back to the schedule. Then on the 24th, I got Eric Smalls from the Five Most Wanted. Then on March 2nd, I got Taekwon Bro. And then on March 9th, I have King Dale Houston. Looking forward to that. And I'm also in talks with Matt Sigmund, getting ready to book him as soon as possible. Thank you guys so much for all your support, feedback, love, and everything you guys do. We thank you so much. And here is my song by Joe Love and the Never Were, the Coach Mike Jones Show walk-on song. Thank you so much. Love ya.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
92-year-old girl. She's a doctor. She's still a memory, everything good.
Nice.